Welcome to the Beer and B Movies podcast. I'm Michael.
And I'm John. Michael, what movie did you bring to the table today?
I brought 1979's Prophecy.
Prophecy.
John, what beer are we pairing with?
We're doing a Field Day Czech Dark Lager, which is an awesome beer. Czech Dark Lagers, they're starting to make a comeback, which I'm very happy about. But let's cheers real quick.
This is one of my favorite styles. They sponsored us. Thank you guys so much. Field Day. When I was coming back...
To Iowa. Yes. Iowa beer. This is an Iowa beer, everybody.
Absolutely. They North opened Liberty. In 2023, and when I contacted them, they hadn't even started canning, and they said, we'll be canning around the time I'm back, and I said, awesome.
Like, so, literally the time that you're back. Like, at 12:37, we're going to start the canning line.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Yeah. Jane and I stopped at the brewery, had some food. They're full on food. They're a restaurant, brewery. They had just got their canning line in the last week. And they said, we don't have any of this canned. And they had it on tap on a side pour, so you get that real creamy head. It was delightful.
That you put the
beautiful beer.
Pennies on kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And they said, if you guys can hang out for an hour after the guys are done with lunch, they're going to can. We got the first four pack off the canning line. They came walking out, gave it to us. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's Midwest hospitality, buddy.
Food was good. They're doing a lot of lagers. They had a Czech Amber. They had a pale lager I brought back. Good stuff. Really nice. Thank you guys so much. They rolled out the red carpet. Always love to. Being a Midwesterner, I like repping.
It's and we've got a lot of good breweries in the state of Iowa. And I know. It's always nice to have more.
This is good. This has nice roast, bit of sweetness to it.
Yeah, it's not bitter. It's drinkable, very drinkable. Like. This is drinkable.
Yeah, cheers again.
Cheers. They're not heavy like ales, so even though it's dark, it's don't be scared.
This was my pick.
This is the pick?
Yep. This was my pick, 1979. When I was a kid, we rented this. It has a very distinct cover. Going to the video rental store. It's got this monster embryo thing.
Yeah, very, very strange. You can't pick. You don't know what it is.
Then when you see the movie, the monster is different, and I can tell you why.
We can get to that when we get to the monster, when it appears.
Well, no, because it happened in pre-production.
Oh, God.
Director John Frankenheimer is a legend. He directed The Manchurian Candidate.
His name is my name, too.
You're welcome. I think he's a J-O-H-N.
Oh, thank you.
So his name is my brother's name.
Oh, there you go. I was going for okay.
I know. John Jacob Jane. I know where you're going. I know where you're going with that. So John Frankenheimer, kind of legendary. The Manchurian Candidate is an all-time classic. And he kind of, like, he admitted after this that he kind of developed a drinking problem. And he
made too many Czech dark lagers while making the movie?
He can never have too many.
It's true.
He can only have enough.
They're great.
But he said he made some bad choices. He said Prophecy is one of them. Well, what happened was the special effects department had this monstrosity, big monster, and he came along and I just keep thinking he's got a cocktail in his hand. He goes,
he's got a martini or
you
something.
You gotta make it more like a bear.
And a bear.
A bear.
And maybe because
of a mutated bear.
Maybe because of the natives, the native peoples.
It's supposed
the
to be,
Opies,
yeah, it's
right?
supposed to be, yeah. The, it's supposed to be a mutated bear. So they ended up going, okay. And they made, it looks like a 6 foot tall man in a 7 foot bear outfit with the bear head flopping around.
It's like one of those inflatables outside of the inflatable dinosaur that you could wear, right? It kind of reacts like that. Like it's a precursor to that. Like somebody saw this movie, like I could make millions off of this. We'll just make it cute.
And they did because this movie wasn't that big of a hit. But it is also one of those 1970s environmental horror movies. In the you have Piranha, It's Alive. You had in the 70s, there was this big growing trend towards, environmentalism and pollution. You had a lot of things that were pushing to, like, we got to stop polluting art and littering, the anti-littering campaign. And so movies like this, Piranha, Alligator. Yeah.
So you'd say this is a politically fueled movie.
I mean, also the Native American, there's a big Native American movement in the 70s, even though Armand DeSante is Italian, Irish American.
I don't know who you're talking about. He was very...
Native American.
Oh, God.
He's pretty awesome, though.
He's pretty hairy for a Native American.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he's nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, this was my pick. I kind of think it's just a fun, silly movie.
It was fun. It was silly. It was... I, at no point was like, why am I watching this movie? I'm like, I'll see where this goes. Oh, it's going there. Okay.
I will say it's a little long. How
long is it?
It's an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah. And it's another one of those, I think, and the more you watch it, I go, this could have been trimmed. This could have been trimmed. We can get this to 90 minutes.
Sure, sure.
So anyway. Well,
let's start it off. How does it start?
So the whole thing is this. It got a great open.
I mean, the opening is cool to the point where it's like, I didn't know what I was getting into when I started this movie.
It's awesome.
And there's this great scene. It's just darkness. And you see these lights glistening. And I couldn't tell what they were. I thought they were UFOs.
Exactly.
And it's so dark.
There's no music. You just, all of a sudden, you gradually hear dogs barking.
They're panting.
It's all that you call it yeah. Diegetic sound.
It's weird.
In the movie world is non-diegetic, which is your film score.
Sure.
And then diegetic sound is the sound that would be within that world. And that's all you're getting.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
Just quiet. It's the middle of the night. You see the lights bouncing. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, these bloodhounds and these guys,
It's a search party. They're walking. They're running through the woods.
Freaking dog jumps off a cliff. What dog does that? Like, it goes...
Not a smart one, I'll tell you that right now. Exactly. And it's like, well, thank God it was attached to the leash still.
Was it? Because
it was.
There's a dude attached to that leash, too.
He's fine.
And the guy's like, you never done that before.
This is strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they go down, and then the dog... Something grabs the dog.
The dog starts yelping, and then it's... Oh,
something
God.
So strong it breaks the rope.
Boom.
Yeah. And they go, you know what I'm going to do? Going to go down there.
You know, we should probably check this out.
That's a big no.
It's a hard no.
I love dogs.
Pass. Hard pass.
Yeah. Something was just grabbed my dog and broke a rope.
Yeah.
I'm not, but two of the guys are going, I'm going to rappel down there. They go down. All of a sudden you hear pretty cheesy screams. They're not really the screams of, yeah.
No, it's like this weird goofy, like, whoa.
No, it's not that terrifying. But the third guy decides, you know what I'm going to do? Going to go on down there.
I need to check on these guys that are now gone.
Again, hard pass.
Hard pass.
I don't care how much I'm getting paid.
And another goofy scream.
Yeah. And he goes down. And again, they cut to classical music being played and this kind of great...
It's the next day.
...montage of shots
yeah.
of a dude hanging from a rope, his helmet's in the water, there's blood.
There's the mauled hound is down there, the other two guys are kind of... The guy that's hanging doesn't look like he's been touched. I think he just died of horror.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
But he had blood attack. On his helmet.
Yeah, well.
I mean, because what we realize is this thing just, spoiler alert, what we find out is it's this monster, but it doesn't seem to kill to eat. It seems to just kill
people.
No,
it's just here to, like, take lives.
Yeah.
It's not surviving on any of this.
It's just fighting back.
It's just here to
take lives. It's a nature fights back movie.
Correct.
So, yeah. So that's our open. Again, you see this, and if the movie stopped right there and you never saw it again, you go, I saw the opening to this movie, and it looked freaking awesome. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely, I was pulled in for sure.
Yeah.
But then it changes completely after the opening.
Yeah, because we go to Talia Shire.
Whoa.
It's got Talia Shire in it.
Yeah.
She's a name.
Yeah.
You know? And again, we get into this political thing because she's a woman. She's pregnant. She's married to a hostile, ornery man who doesn't think anybody should bring babies into the world, and she doesn't want to have an abortion, but her husband's going to... She says he's going to talk me into having an abortion.
Yeah, that's... Talk.
I mean, it's a hot-button issue.
We're
not going to get political about this.
She's a cello player. She's you know, this beautiful... Like, the music that Michael's talking about going into the death goes into a music hall where you see her playing the cello.
Again, and it's a great edit.
It's really cool. And then she's like, Michael said, she's talking to her friend. She's like, oh, I'm pregnant. And I don't think, you know, has the discussion. It's just like, well, this is, sounds like you're in a pretty bad relationship if your husband's kind of, you know, he's painted in a, like, this guy's kind of a dick, whatever. And then we go to see said doctor. This is another cringe-worthy scene.
This is cringy, man.
It's bad, and I think, like you said...
I don't think they intended it to be.
No, but they made it. They made it really bad.
When you watch, because
he's a doctor
for the EPA.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
He's a doctor for the EPA. He goes to the inner city.
He's inner city, and they make it inner city as hell.
It's a... Yeah.
And we're talking the 70s, so it's like...
It looks like the set for, like, a dumb, you know, theater play.
It's Skid Row,
yeah,
right?
It's so bad, it's like again... African Americans. It's just nothing. African Americans living in squalor.
It's bad.
And he's visiting this woman's baby has been bitten by rats.
Yep.
And they portray her as just it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, just a her low voice. IQ, just dumb, just doesn't know.
Living anything. In squalor.
Yeah,
just too many people in a room. The poor baby's been bitten by rats, and he's ticked off at the landlord.
He's like, screw this.
I'm with him.
But I can send this baby to the hospital.
Yeah,
it's gonna go back, and guess what? It's gonna get eaten alive by rats.
Angry. Again. Yeah,
so, and he's like, I'm sick of this.
Makes me angry, but it also it just makes it look like here's the white guy to help all you know. Dim-witted black people.
This is where he gets approached by the EPA right here.
The EPA
that's,
guy.
That's what happened.
Yeah, because he's out. He's taking notes, and he's like,
Rrr. He's mad.
He's on the warpath. Robert is just an angry dude.
Robert's pissed,
which makes it really questionable why they ask him.
They're like, because you're a person.
The EPA guy comes, and he goes, hey, there's a land dispute up in Maine between the Native Americans and the loggers.
Does he say Native Americans? Oh, I think he says Indians.
We're going to say Native Americans or OPs because they refer to them as original people.
Correct. OPs.
But no, this is a time when they still refer to Native Americans as Indians.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Probably not.
No.
But they're OPs.
Yeah.
But I think he says.
They self-reference.
Correct.
As original
people. And that's
people.
What we're going to. OPs,
I think,
yeah,
works.
For sure. I agree.
So, the EPA guy goes, there's this land dispute up there. They want to stop the logging, the loggers. And Robert's going, I'm a rat bite guy. This is what I do. And he goes, yes, but you know people and you're good with people. And at no point do we see evidence of this.
The entire movie, he's not good with people.
Yeah, this guy does not have discussions. He just argues.
Yeah.
Those are tough people. We've all known those people like that. They're tough people to be around.
You
can't just like sit there and have a beer with a guy like that. He just wants to argue with you. And you're like, geez, cool it, bud.
Okay,
so he agrees.
He takes the job.
Yeah,
and dude, he's like, I'm bringing my wife with me.
Maybe this will chill him out though, because when he gets, he's going up into Maine.
It's beautiful.
So he goes from like the inner city squalor,
yep.
And it's gorgeous. But the plane ride's great because she's trying to talk. She goes, it's really beautiful. And he's just like staring, grinding his teeth at everything. And there's one moment,
it's
though.
It's the whole movie.
Well, there's one moment where he kind of looks out and you almost see where he goes, you know, this is kind of cool.
This is nice, but wait, I gotta keep hating. Hold on.
I'm gonna stalk off this plane and just pick a fight with someone. But they get up there and they get met by Isley, mm-hmm. who's played by Richard Dysart, who most people would know from L.A. Law, but he will always be Doc from The Thing.
Oh, there you go. Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Nice.
You didn't pick that
no,
up?
No, dude. Oh. I mean.
So he meets him. He's Isley. He's the logging man.
He's the paper mill director.
He comes off really friendly at first.
Going, of course hey, he is. Welcome to the country.
And then we get this odd shot of the dog, this bloodhound being carried, you know, dangling
What's with that dog in the air? Is this something you guys do on every Tuesday?
And he goes, no, that's our rescue party went disappearing. And then this thing turned up at the ranger station. And he goes from nice, to hot really quick because it's clear he thinks it's the OPs. Yeah.
The OPs are the ones.
Yeah.
They're the reason that all this is happening.
But he knows wood because she has her cello with her. And he goes, oh, you got this kind of wood and this kind of wood. And the back is this. And he's like, I don't know that, but I know wood. It's like a real thing where they... That's bona fides.
That's a creep is what that is. Get a life, bud.
And then he says to the fellow picking it up, he goes, that's the biggest fiddle you'll ever see.
Jesus.
Like the woman's probably insulted. Just, it's not a fiddle.
Yeah. Well, they get in the car and they're like, okay, let's go on vacation. This will be fun. And they're taking a drive up to their cabin, right?
Real quick though, Isley, he tells them about Katahdin.
Oh yeah, he should probably.
It's important. Katahdin is this mythical monster that the Native Americans say is responsible for all the trouble, and it's supposed to be a dragon and a cat and like have a little bit of everything.
A dormouse and this is
important.
Breakfast cereal.
That's a breakfast cereal. It's orangutans.
Saliva.
Katahdin. We'll get to that.
It's, Gramps. It happens.
Grandpa.
Oh good old Gramps. Robert, ripping heaters.
Okay. Robert's first chance to settle a dispute is an epic fail.
It's real. He's a people person. These people are not. They're not happy with each other.
They got the road chained off.
They got the road. They're trying to get to the cabin. The road's chained off by the OPs.
Yes.
Right. And they're like, "What? Come on."
John Hawks. And Ramona.
Yeah.
She's a dish.
She's nice.
Yeah, she's good looking.
She's nice on the eyes.
And Armand DeSante is playing John Hawks. Armand DeSante is a good actor.
He's a great actor. He's a horrible Opie.
again, this was a time when it was totally cool to cast
A guy, Italians as Native Americans.
It was okay. You know, hey, be thankful it wasn't just like the whitest guy in the world. Right, you know,
right, yeah.
But yeah, they're blocking the road, and Isley and his guys. He tells his guy basically is, this guy's real quick to go chainsaw.
This guy has a chainsaw.
He says, cut the trees down and they won't get out of the way. But this guy, he goes like, I'm going to stick a chainsaw on a human being real fast.
Yeah, John gets in the way and this guy's like, okay. And a fight ensues. And what does he use for a weapon?
Well, he's an axe. Someone hands him an axe.
He gives him an axe against a chainsaw.
Yeah.
They have some sort of parrying going on. The axe gets thrown away, gets tossed off. He deflects it. And then the man takes the chainsaw and he's got it to John's neck.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Robert just gets out and starts yelling.
He's just like, God, you stop it. You stop it.
What's going
you
on?
You stop it.
What are you trying to prove?
I'm a people person.
And Isley, the boss, is pretty cool.
He's like, man, let's see what happens.
Unlock.
We'll see what happens.
Unlock the chain.
You're going to do it. You're going to do it.
2 inches from your neck is a chainsaw.
You're going to do it.
Yeah. Ramona ends up
Ramona's like, come on, yeah.
Because John is willing to have his head cut off.
He's a strong dude. Strong-willed.
I mean,
strong-willed. We'll figure out.
But they unlock it, and that enables, you know, Robert and Maggie, that's his wife.
They're like, what kind of paradise did we sign up to be in? Because this ain't it.
No, but where they're staying, because she's playing her cello. They're in this beautiful cabin on a lake.
Oh, right on the lake, yeah.
Oh, dude, that's...
It's nice, but you gotta deal with that first. But.
Well, you know, that's like it's a pretty crap. You know what? You only get one chance to make a first impression.
Succeed.
Yeah. And he's fishing. For some reason now, instead of like trying to solve this problem, he goes, I'm going to go do a little fishing.
Babe? Well, he's got to catch dinner.
Which is just...
They got to catch dinner.
Wait, what?
He's got to have dinner, Michael. He's out in the middle of nowhere. There's no grocery stores.
He didn't bring any groceries?
No. He's from the city. They don't know. I mean, but he knows how to fish.
Exactly. He knows how to boat around and fish. And he sees...
Just get the salmon real quick.
And it's great because there's this duck that gets sucked under the water, and then this great shot.
It's in the foreground?
Yeah, so it's like that forced perspective.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's the forced perspective where, like, you shoot a boar, and then you stand 10 feet back, and the boar looks like it's, you know, the size of an elephant. But, yeah, and he sees the salmon just go bloop.
And it's huge.
It's giant, dude.
It's dumb.
It's like the size of a sunfish. It's gigantic. and he goes, whoa.
I wish I would have caught that salmon.
I can't imagine if I got that on my lung. That would have been trouble. And he's making dinner, and he's telling Maggie about all this. And he goes, it's the land of Paul Bunyan, which I thought was a bunch of BS. Because I always think Paul Bunyan, Minnesota.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
No, isn't it Paul Bunyan supposed to? Didn't he carve the
Great Lakes?
The Grand Canyon with his axe.
No, I thought he...
Who was it?
Well, if you look Paul Bunyan up, apparently there is the...
There's a Paul Bunyan places, in every... Okay, so every...
Different areas claim him. And
it's like
one
Santa
of them
Claus.
Is Maine.
It's like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Right?
I always heard it was Minnesota.
And I always thought it was Arizona. I thought he drug his axe and it formed the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He got around.
This guy's got some folklore better than Santa Claus, I'm telling you.
So good.
So they're making dinner. Salmon's... The fish is phenomenal. I haven't had fish. It's so great.
Yeah, well, then we find out it's really not.
Well, you know, we're getting to that.
Stay the hell away from the fish.
But what happens when they're having this wonderful dinner later that night?
Okay, they have a heart-to-heart, and then all of a sudden they hear a really
she's
nasty
about,
sound.
Isn't she about to spill her... Isn't she like...
I think she's getting comfortable with maybe saying, hey, by the way,
got a baby.
You've impregnated me.
Hey, doctor. I'm ready for my exam.
And he just hates like, bringing like, people into the world.
Yeah. So he just turns away, gives a cold shoulder, like just goes like puts his arm up on the mantle, like, I don't want to talk about this.
They get a little romantic though too. And then all of a sudden you hear this horrible sound outside the door, which you don't just go open your door. There's a window next to the door. First you peek out the window, right?
Yeah,
if you hear some like nasty animal sound.
It's a weird animal sound. And like I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't do that.
I would peek out the window and I go, there's a raccoon having spasms on my front porch.
Which is what he opens the door to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's seizing. He's like, wow, this is
weird. And
he
doesn't slam the door quick. He waits until the raccoon goes, I'm going to jump on you.
Attack.
Dude, raccoons in the best of situations. Not a fan.
No, horrible.
I know enough about them. They're bad. They're not, guys, they're not cute. They're not cute, cuddly animals.
They're cute when they're babies.
They're vicious. Yeah. They're cute when they're babies. And then when they
just
grow
like
up,
everything else.
They can ruin your day. Just
oh,
like
real,
they do with
real
him.
Quick.
And what's awesome is he's fighting it, and then he throws it in the fire. And then afterwards, he tells someone on the phone, yeah, I examined the tissue and it's not rabies. I have no idea how it works. I didn't know you could just sit in a cabin with no instruments and look at some tissue and go, not rabies.
Maybe he had brought stuff that we're not, you know. Like his we saw the rabies cello. Testing well, kit. Everybody gets one when you graduate doctor school.
I guess, really?
I don't know. Probably.
Because, yeah, he does. He's talking on the phone and he ends up meeting. Yeah, right. We're there.
Yeah. He's going to go talk to Ramona.
So he's on the phone in a park. Talking to somebody I'm sending you some
I'm on this getaway. It's kind of remote, but I'm going to send it to the lab.
Odd. I got in a fight with a raccoon in it. Yeah. And one thing I know is it's not rabies. So you know what? I'm not getting shots. So Ramona and John want to talk to him. And John, he's like, Babar, I've been educated in all your schools.
I know your ways.
Yeah.
I know what you do.
I know all the things. And you know, you need to come. Our people are dying. There's something wrong with our people, and it's not. They're falling down, and it's not because they're drinking.
No,
because that's a thing. Yeah. They do this whole thing about always the Native Americans.
The Native Americans are the Opies are
violent,
just drunk.
They get
crazy.
Drunk. Like, it's just horrible stereotypes.
John's like, no one's drinking here, bud. This is a dry city.
We live off the land.
We don't do this. We don't make stuff. We don't make any alcohol.
Babies are born and they're deformed.
There's stillbirth. There's mental illness. There's birth defects. There's all this weird stuff. He's like. Okay, doctor, come and help us.
One of the things they do say is some of them are born so deformed they need to be killed.
Wow.
That's heavy.
That's, I mean.
I know some cultures are like, you know, we're going to leave, you know, Vikings, like you're born.
Well, maybe
deformed.
It's like they're so deformed, like they don't have lungs or something.
But he makes it sound like they come out and he goes.
They're like, they're so disgusting.
We got a
like,
bucket of water. We just dip them in. That's pretty heavy. So Robert says, Maggie, these folks want, you know, they need some help. He goes, oh, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to, you know, hang angry at more people because he's going to go see it. But they don't take him to see the babies.
No,
they go to Grandpa's camp.
They go to Grandpa's cool camp.
Grandpa made this. Ramona's grandpa made this camp that's supposed to, like a replica of the olden days.
Yeah, maybe it was still, maybe it's been around. Maybe it's been
Well,
there.
Well, no, they actually say he built it.
Really?
Yeah, he set this up. So it's almost like old, you know. Place where you go and you say, hey, here's the Native American. Here's how they used to live.
It's your cool part
of
land.
And he just
sits
around.
Whatever you want with,
right? He just sits around smoking.
Smoking cigarettes until they burn his fingers.
Yeah.
Because he's got a little mercury in the
world. Robert notices this.
Yep. And he's like, what's this giant plant growing over here? Like, there's some weird stuff.
And he goes, the roots are supposed to be underground, not overground.
Yeah, and they're on top and they're huge.
And he goes, dude, you should see. It's a Garden of Eden. Check this out. There's a freaking tadpole the size of a cat.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, you know, that's not cool. That's a sign of something wrong. I don't think that I'd be celebrating that. And there's logs. And he goes, what's up with the logs in your little sea? You go, I never brought anybody here.
Yeah.
And there's logs. Well, they come down twice a year. They're from the logging company.
The logging company, yeah.
Robert's starting to put stuff together.
It's like, well, let's go check out that mill.
Which is crazy.
Let's go check out that mill.
Anytime I see that kind of, you know what they do, it is sort of awe-inspiring to see just how many, like, they'll fill a river with logs, and you see
it's insane. Yeah, the amount of logs, and also the deforestation too, like the barrenness of like where the woods just stop.
Well, and I love Isley starts out early on. Isley's going, what we do is we plant seedlings for everything we take. So, you know, this forest is better off than the day God made it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we find out, no, it's not. You know, so he's giving them the tour and he's saying, this is, you know, we use bleach for the paper because people don't want brown paper. Mm-hmm. But all the bleach stays in. And he's selling a good spiel.
He's doing everything. He's saying everything he needs to say.
He's like, we test the water and it gets tested twice a week. We're clean. And Robert is, again, real people person. He's just really antagonistic.
He's like, what are you putting in the goddamn water?
You tell me. You know what's going on. Tell me.
Sir, we know. We test this water 5 times a week. We know exactly what's coming in, what's going on. You got to be telling me. You're putting, like, just keep
just pushing. Like turning his back just, and like drinking coffee and going, what happens to the logs before you get here?
That's none of my business, sir. You talk to somebody else.
An independent contractor. They go and do it. And I don't want, do they use chemicals?
Yeah, he goes up. It's the... He knows. He's not an idiot.
He's not an idiot, but it's just, I don't know why you send him, because he's not doing a very good job of diplomacy. Or
he's EPA.
He's making that guy defensive.
Well,
how could you react any differently to this guy?
Because he's literally attacking him.
But what's great is he ends up leaving with his wife, and he goes, looks at her boot, and he says,
"Honey,
that's silver stuff. Touch it.
Touch. Oh God.
Touch that silver.
I wonder what that could be.
Dry." And she goes, yeah. And he says, they had a trick question.
That's his
medical school. He's like, what's the liquid that's not wet and rolls? And it's a mercury. And at that point, you're thinking, you just told your wife to touch mercury.
Exactly. She's going to go crazy. So he goes back to their camp, and he's like, wait a second. He goes back to the cabin. He just goes over it. And he's like, oh, yeah, this is all.
Becomes real obsessive.
It's mercury.
Recording, and he's like, mercury. He's like, it turns things into freaks.
It's mutagen. It's a mutation, blah, blah, blah.
She's in the other room.
She's like, I'm pregnant.
She's
going. He's like, oh, yeah, by the way, all of this mercury is in the fish and everything in this land. And if you eat the
freakism.
These people have been eating the fish that have been fed mercury. So that means that their babies are going to have defects. And she's just in the other room like, I'm pregnant. I ate the fish. I'm pregnant. Oh, God, I'm pregnant. But she doesn't do anything.
Just see this panic attack and just enveloping her. And he's just going,
there's freakism. She doesn't do anything. She's just like, oh, honey.
She's probably scared to death.
Of course she is. But she doesn't. There's no reaction. She's still not going to say anything. Oh, God.
We forgot to mention the family.
The Nelson family's out for a nice family vacation.
Because when they first get up there, there's this annoying family. It's a dad, a son, and a daughter.
And like, it's really tight Levi jeans and like a button-down shirt. And the daughter's listening to an AM/FM radio.
1979, dude.
Just blasting the radio. And this beautiful, we didn't talk about how beautiful the scenery is. It's amazing. They're in beautiful woods, a beautiful lake.
Lots of great aerial shots of upper northeast. I really don't have a lot of experience with that area of the country. I'd love to go to Maine because they have the huge expanses of wilderness. It's beautiful.
For sure.
But so this family was like, we're going backpacking, and the little boy kind of want to punch him. He's just annoying.
Oh, he's annoying.
But the daughter is more annoying because she takes a damn radio. And then there's a heavy breathing across this waterway, and the dad stops and he goes, "Turn that thing off."
She's like, "No."
He said, "I can play him for 15 more minutes." And he goes, "Turn it off." I'm really.
Yeah,
slap that.
Either
kid.
Way, and so they showed up early.
There's something. You hear some heavy breathing. So far, we haven't seen the monster. We hear roars. And it'll be heavy breathing.
Something's out there.
See trees shaking.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah, and just some really heavy breathing.
But yeah, so after the cabin scene, the same night we jumped to the Nelson family, who's out having a nice camping trip, sleeping outside, so nice and cozy, got a fire going, everything's great. And then we finally see the monster, which is this weird.
The kid's in his little mummy bag.
Oh, God. Is he ever?
It's just great.
But he's the last.
Because it does. It just, they cut, and then all of a sudden it's just a roar.
And
this rubber man in a rubber monster suit.
It's a man in a rubber monster suit. It's supposed to look like a bear. It looks like a rat's head with like half of the flesh removed. It's just the weirdest thing ever.
It's pretty bad.
The dad screams.
And the daughter screams.
Daughter screams, of course she's dead.
Son gets up.
He's in his little yellow sleeping bag,
trying to bounce
away.
He's
jumping away from this horrible monster.
Kadad and just like backhands.
Just backs. And then he shoots the kid across the campsite into a rock.
He just flies out 100 miles per hour into a rock, explodes in a cloud of feathers.
Yeah, the sleeping bag stays intact. But there's feathers that just go everywhere. It's just the goofiest death ever.
At least it was funny as hell. Oh, my God, it's great. Because it also, dude, it's one of those things in horror movies. Like, are you going to cross that line? Because
killing a kid. Killing a kid like that.
Oh, just anytime. We can't show anything. Yeah, but it's still great to just watch this kid hopping. And thinking his last seconds on Earth are just him hopping and then getting backhanded into a rock. I'm laughing. It's pretty damn. It's a fictional character, so I don't really feel bad.
It was a funny death to witness. That's for sure. Oh, you'll laugh too.
Oh my God! The first time I remember, as an adult, when I was a kid watching it, I think we probably thought this was a little scarier than it really is. It's one of those I revisited as an adult, and I went, there was actually some good laughs here. That's one of them. I just started laughing out loud when I saw that kid get blasted right into the rock.
It's hilarious.
I just wish it would have been the sister because just she that, sucked that with damn her radio. Stupid radio. How did she get reception out there?
Taken away from, I have no idea.
No other reason, they do probably have mountain lions out there. You know, you want to keep your wits about you.
Oh, for sure.
Your damn disco playing over everything. So, okay.
Blows the kid up.
They got their doors blown clean off.
Blown off. That's your notes. The family gets their doors blown right off.
Katahdin blows their doors off.
Oh, man.
That's totally what I said. So Robert is getting he's getting blood samples from the folk because he's
like, there's something going on here.
These and people I have mercury poisoning.
And he's going to do the scientific method. He's going to take samples of people's blood, cross-examine them with, you know, whatever. Because,
but meanwhile, the loggers and the local sheriff, they show up and they go, hey, man.
Guess what?
A family just got slaughtered, and we think it's the OPs. And I go, really? You think the OPs threw a kid 100 miles per hour into a rock?
Yeah.
like that kid was pulp. Yeah. Those people were ripped apart.
I want to see, like, they had to open this. We keep going back to, you know, open up the sleeping bag. Like, what did that look
just
like?
Just oozing out. Oh, I mean, God.
So,
I mean,
yeah, they're here to grab John, right?
Yeah, and John goes, you don't think so.
Pop. Punches dude in the face.
Runs
into the cabin. And then we get the 5 second for the pregnant pause. He runs in the front door. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Oh, that's probably 3,000.
Yeah.
The stuntman goes jumping out of the window. So this good, like, yeah, into the window, into the woods. I'm out of here. You can't get me. I'm innocent. Oh, this is a really good way to show your innocence. But he knows that if he goes with the cops, he's screwed.
Oh, there's Southern justice coming
Correct.
His way.
Exactly.
These guys are not. They're not looking to find the culprit. They're looking to blame the Native
this
Americans.
This may be Maine, but it's more like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, Alabama. There's some Southern. There's some classic Southern law crap.
What it is, you know, it's racism. So he runs off into the woods like, I'm out of here. Good for him. This is where you got the next part.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
I'm watching. Oh yeah. Well, Robert says, he's being real sneaky with Ramona, and he goes,
he's like, hey,
where's this campsite at where these people had their doors blown off? Well, you'll take us out. And they get a chopper. Somehow they just grab a chopper.
He's EPA, dude. He can dial in some cool shit. EPA.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the chopper takes him out, and it's remote because the kid even says, like, we got to backpack 5 days. And he's like, that sounds hard. And he's like,
oh, quit being such a wimp.
That's the fun of it. That's what makes it fun. I'm like, dude, I would not hike with that kid.
Nope.
So the chopper takes him out, and it's starting to rain. The weather's turning pretty bad. And the chopper guy's like, we got to be quick about this. So they're going to go. They find the campsite, and there's John, who went there. He must have run there?
Like, of course.
They have to take a chopper. So at the time, I'm thinking, is this guy one of those, like, skinwalker deals?
No, shape changers? So you have to think about how long it takes to call the EPA and be like, hey, I need a helicopter flown in.
I think it happened in the same day.
Well, sure, it did. But, I mean, it was probably an hour run for him. Hour.
So if he's like a shape changer, he probably changed into like a wolf or something.
They show up it's later and it's like at nighttime, isn't it? It's very close to night.
It's light, but it's also raining, so we don't know. When it gets like that, it could have been in the afternoon.
They show up to the site, and there's giant claw marks on these trees. And they're like a respectable 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
But then there's the other ones that are
20 feet up there.
Jesus.
You know.
15. It was big. And then he pulls a big tuft of what we think is bear hair.
It's flesh, though.
No, dude, I think it's a scalp. I think it's like.
Do you think it's from the people?
I think it's a scalp. Ooh. You think that the cops placed a scalp to be like, see, it was Opie's. I mean, they scalped them. Dude. Because that's what it is. It is a scalp.
The light bulb just went off.
Seriously, it is a scalp.
I think it is.
And it's a scalp.
They're just handing it back and forth, too. I thought that was
Well, that's whatever.
You know, yeah. But John's there, and he's walking around with someone's boot, like somebody got hit so hard they got knocked out of their boots.
Shut it.
And then Maggie's at the helicopter with the chopper dude, and she's sick.
Like, I'm pregnant.
And he's like, what does he own? Does he own stock in ammonia? Because he's going, here's some ammonia. Smell this.
Try doing some more.
I don't want it. And he's like, come on, smell it, smell it. We gotta fly. And he just keeps going, this is getting pretty dicey here. And she gets out and she finds mutant babies in the water.
Yeah, mutant baby bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this weird,
the monsters.
They're formed bear cubs, pretty much.
And they're kind of, you know, it's 1979. I know that they don't have CGI, but I still think they could have done a better job. Hot take. It's my hot take. I think they could have done a better job.
You guys are your bear.
Well, but, and she's screaming, and so they come and find it. Ramona goes, leave that stuff. You leave it here to die.
Yeah. Like, we don't
Robert
want.
Goes, no, this is going to crack the case.
This is science.
This is going to crack the case.
Yeah. So they grab these weird deformed creatures, and they take them back to the camp, Grandpa's camp.
Yeah, because they can't fly out. And
because
so
of the weather, yeah.
And so they're back at Grandpa's camp. And I love how Robert, he's like supposed to be so knowledgeable. And they go, Grandpa's camp. And he goes, tents, we got to keep it warm. And I'm like, dude, I'm no expert, but teepees, they survived a long time with teepees. I've actually camped in a teepee.
I think the problem was that the creature was cold from being in the water, and it was probably, you know, the its temp was dropping, so they needed to warm it up and
bring
it back.
Yeah, but teepees, you can do that, man. Those things contain some heat.
If there's a fire in them.
Well, you,
there wasn't a fire in that one. They had to bring coals. I know, they brought coals in from the outside fire, and they loaded the teepee up.
I just think Robert showed, you know, kind of a real ignorance in that moment. Like, somehow teepees aren't worthwhile. Yeah, they are, bud.
He is from the city.
He is.
He's a city guy.
All right, so it's night at the camp, probably about the time I'm in a camp. This is when I'm cracking a beer.
A nice dark lager. You know, it goes really good, like, think of next to a fire.
A Czech dark lager from Field Day. It's a wonderful beer.
A nice, Czech dark lager.
You actually had this tap at a tap house, right?
I did here in town. Yep, it was great, man, on draft. Holy cow. And that was also side poured, which was amazing.
I'm telling you, I'm going to say it right now. Side pour is everywhere back here. I don't see it in Southern California.
That's sad. I mean, a side pour of this was so good. Really brings out the nose, that malt back to it. At the campsite, we got the mutant inside. We've got a campfire going. And this Czech dark would be great next to a campfire.
Hell yeah.
Cheers. It's really good. It's really good stuff.
I love it.
So yeah. Great beer.
Refuge at Grandpa's. And they had mentioned that, and this is coming up, because when you mention something like, there are underground tunnels below the frost line, that's where we would keep our stuff. When you mention that in the first act, it's going to come back.
And it did.
In the third act.
It was great.
You're not going to just mention something like that as an aside, because they're back there. They're trying to keep the one little baby alive. And they want to bring the logger and the sheriff out to Robert's going, just yelling at everybody. He's just running around yelling at everybody.
Yeah, he's just telling people what to do in the nicest voice possible.
Get the hell, Jesus, God. This is finally when Maggie's freaking out, because she's thinking, I might have one of these monstrosities growing inside.
And then she's like, hey, guess what? Yeah, I'm pregnant. She finally reveals that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. How's he take it?
I think he just pukes everywhere. He takes it like he does, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's just going.
He just, like, you're telling me this now? Like, there's more important things happening right now, and you're telling me you're pregnant. It's
Well, come on. Well, and she tears into him, because she's like, dude, you just, all I ever hear from you is what a horrible world this is, and you shouldn't bring children in, you know, and you want me to tell you that I'm pregnant. It's you don't receive.
You're setting me up for failure.
Yeah, you know what, Robert, you're a bad partner. That's what she should have said.
Well, that's what she's.
Robert, you're a butt crack.
Yeah.
There, I said it. So Isley and the cops show up.
They're like, okay, let's see this bear, this mutated bear you're talking about, you crazy.
John Hawks goes, I'm going to go hide in the tunnels with my bow and arrow.
I'll be down soon.
Robert's going, dude, check this out.
Look at this weird monster. This is what's going on because of this stupid logging bulls.
And Isley's walking away. He's like, oh my God, this is horrible. He said, did you know?
Yeah.
Robert's yelling, did you know?
Of course he's yelling.
And Robert goes, or Isley just goes, I didn't. Classic. I didn't want to know.
Things happen. And when you're making a boatload of money, you don't ask questions.
And it's crappy. But, you know, they try to make it out like he's sort of a capitalist, but he's not a bad guy. And I'm going, I don't know. I think it's pretty crappy. But he does decide he wants to be a hero.
He's like, I'll go take care of the communications. Doesn't he go run off, right?
He goes up to a microwave. There's a microwave tower up there. Oh. Because if Gramps walks out of the woods and he's got a bear skin over his head, and everyone goes, oh, it's Gramps. And he's just all got this goofy look in his face. And that's when Katahdin.
Oh, he comes out of nowhere.
Just comes out and says, it's time to party.
Goofy, floppy
running
head.
Around, grabbing people,
just murdering
apart,
people left
just
and right.
Punching backhand and left and right. And he goes, run into the tunnels. John gets people into the tunnels. And I love that they're all down there and it's just quiet.
It's so quiet during that scene. I thought that my receiver went out. I'm dead serious. I was like,
They do play with sound in this movie. Pretty interesting.
It was really good. Like, I was. Seriously,
it's tense.
It was great.
Yeah, it's more tense with that than with, you know, some music over it.
And it's almost like, it's almost 2 or 3 minutes of complete silence of them just sitting there terrified.
Probably a scene that I said, we could have trimmed a little bit.
No.
Again, I think you got to get to the 90-minute
mark. I thought that pushed it a lot. Like, that made it really impactful for me. I was like, this is great.
No, it was creepy because you hear a little bit of snuffling. You hear some guys screaming as they're just being torn apart by Katahdin.
Yeah, and then it's just, like, quiet. And then
the sheriff goes, I'm gonna poke my head up.
Was it the sheriff that goes up there? Oh, God.
Like, give me a light. I'm gonna poke my head up, see what's going on.
Poked his head up. Yeah, sure, poked his head up.
Yeah, bad idea. Bad.
Head gone.
Awful.
Dead.
Just a drag, man. And
he pokes his head up, and he dies. Boom, dead.
And Katahdin takes the dead baby and books it. I don't know why. I thought it might stay around for the live one, or, you know, it can't go underground. Yeah. Can't, like, menace them, dig. No. Bears dig.
Don't know. Didn't do it. It literally just ran off and was like,
I'm going to tell you, it doesn't move that great. Dumpy. Anyway.
Okay.
It's my thought.
Okay.
It's just kind of bad. It's kind of sad sometimes to see this creature, this rubber suit. Totally does run.
It's always running back and forth.
It's always running on its hind feet.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, it's just,
it's so weird.
It's not good. But Isley,
funny though. It makes it fun.
You ever notice that they're always like 20 miles away from wherever they are? Safety's 20 miles away. Wherever the hell they are in this movie, safety is always 20 miles away. And Isley goes, "Well, there's a microwave tower. I could go up there, and if I could find him, I can get contact." And you go, "Oh, Isley's trying to make good.
Sounds great.
Call to make good." And they go, "Well, we're gonna head.
Going to the village."
The village, they end up at their cabin. They're doing a trek out, and it's great because as they're trying to escape on foot, they go through just all of this awful deforestation
that completely
blows up Isley's thing about, you know, hey, we plant trees for everyone we take, and it looks just the same as when God made it. This is some nasty deforestation.
It's gone. It's gone times.
Yeah, this stuff is way gone. And
Isley gets it.
He gets to the tower. He goes, "Man, this is great.
I'm gonna win the day."
And then he looks down. And he goes, "There's a dead mutant baby covered with ants or something. Flies.
What's this all about?"
And then Katahdin comes out. And he runs,
running all goofy,
trying to get under the gate.
He jumps. He's trying to go up the fence.
It's a pretty bad fail.
I mean, he could have made it.
I think.
But instead, he's like, "Oh, I can't make the fence. I'm going to go underneath the fence."
Yeah. He gets about halfway under when Katahdin grabs him.
The other half. The other half gets...
And he's screaming. You go, "Well, so much for that."
He's dead.
At this point, they're at the river, and then Grandpa is singing.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
He's got mercury brain. Big time mercury brain. Well, this is before the truck happens, though. First, they get in the truck, and it's very Jurassic Park-ish. They're, like, in the truck trying to drive away, and Katahdin attacks them. Knocks the truck over, right?
Okay, this is
before the swim times.
Yes, because John goes off, finds the vehicle, and what's great is when they're driving, they just rip off Jaws. Go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
It's the Jaws theme. They keep building, and then when it's the big payoff, it's nothing. The beams of the truck.
Oh my God!
And it's nothing. Yeah. But then it's just quiet, and the beams hit, and Katahdin goes, "Brah!"
And it's like, "Oh, look at this scary, weird thing.
Here's a floppy-headed monster coming for us." And it's great because the chopper pilot, somehow he stayed alive through this whole damn thing.
Well, he just sat around and did nothing. He wasn't out in action.
But they carried him out in the stretcher, homemade stretcher. And his poor guy, John's trying to free him.
Not happening.
And there's
today,
just
bud.
A point he goes, "I got to make a decision.
See ya."
Sorry, bud. And Katahdin just goes over and bites dude's head off.
Right off. Head's gone.
And they're running. And Grandpa, you know,
Is this the time? Did the mutant bear cub bite her yet?
That's the point. This is the point when the mutant bear bites Tally Maggie's neck.
So they've got the bear cub because they're keeping it alive. They're trying to take it back to get samples. And this bear cub just bites her neck through all of this craziness. And I wish we would have taken a timer because it's literally. Bear bites.
She's running through the woods
with a bear attached.
Mutant bear hanging
attached
from
her neck. And not only that, she then has to swim across.
She loses it in the water. At some point, it's not biting her neck anymore in the water. It's nuts. And they get to the water and they go, "Oh, you know, fortunately, our cabin's across this lake."
They swim across, yeah.
Because there's a gun in there. And we know we saw a gun in the first act when they got to the cabin.
Yep.
You're going to have that gun
foreshadowing,
back.
Yeah.
And Grams goes, "You know what? I'm going to stay here on the shore. I'm going to have a little conversation.
I'm going to talk to Katahdin.
I'm going to parlay. I'm going to parlay with Katahdin.
Yeah, right?
No, Katahdin.
Oh, just, Mercury brain. Oh, boy. This guy gets thrown. He's literally up in the air. Like, it's so bad.
It's like a dog with a toy.
Exactly.
It's biting them right in the torso and just, like, whipping its head back and forth. And at one point, Ramona's going to swim back, and I don't know what she's planning.
To die?
Yeah.
To cry? I have no idea. There's no coming back from that.
No. You just bail.
No. So they make
I love my family, but I'm bailing.
Sorry, but you're dead.
You want a showdown. You want to parlay with Katahdin.
You're
on your own.
Are dead. They make it across the lake, river, whatever it is, and they finally get to the cabin.
And we all know we all know bears can't swim.
No, but you know what they can do? Walk on the bottom of lakes.
Because it walks into the water.
And they're like,
when it goes under,
God.
Oh my God, it's good. It's
thank
going.
God it's
good. And by the way, bears are really good swimmers.
Yeah, well they don't. They walk on it's not a bear though. That's what you're forgetting, Michael. It's not a bear.
Yeah.
It's a mutant creature.
Well, they
should. This is what's going on. This thing, they see the Katahdin walk into the water. Go under the water. They're laying on the dock next to the cabin. And they're there for another, like, it feels like 20 minutes.
This
they're just like, oh,
thank God. This is over.
This is great.
Oh, we're so, you know, they're just sitting. I'm like, their legs are dangling in the water. And of course, we know what's
John's
happening.
Well, John's standing. He's in the water standing.
We know what's going to, I mean, you know? It's a movie. We know what's, I'm like, you guys, get out of the
water.
I'll
tell you what, if it was me, I would be in that cabin cracking open a Czech dark lager from Field Day.
I'd be slamming it. I'd be like, I got to get this out of my head right now. Yeah. Katahdin's coming for me.
Yeah. You know
this
what?
This might be the last beer I drink, and you know what? It's a good one.
I'm embarking on one damn bender.
Correct. So they're literally...
Bubbles
start showing up.
And it starts to dawn on them.
And they still are laying on the dock.
They just look, what are those bubbles?
Look at those bubbles. What are
the bubbles? Get the fishing pole. It might be a trout. It could be good salmon. No. It's not.
Yeah. John slowly kind of realizes, like, I might not want to be, you know, waist deep in this water.
This is not a good idea at all.
And Katahdin bursts out of the water, I love how this rickety old shack, they go, let's barricade ourselves in there.
Yeah, so they run in, they start putting everything into, like, all the windows and doors and stuff like that.
But I'm thinking, like, a regular bear would have a pretty easy job getting in this piece of crap.
Well, this ain't your regular bear.
No, and this is a bear that just, like, blows walls
up. It literally blew the roof off of it. I don't know how this happened, but, like, it's like, did it jump into a tree? All of a sudden, it's, like, on top of the roof and blows half of it off.
Yeah.
Just boom, gone. What?
It kills Ramona. Yeah. I
how does this happen?
I kept going, okay, wait, this thing, because when you see it, it's about eight feet tall.
Yeah, but when you see it when it attacks, it's like...
It somehow, it's like, on claps top of its the hands roof. And, yeah. like, blows up the roof and it's a, like, whole wall disappears.
It's like a Godzilla thing. Like, just blows things off.
It's nuts.
It's crazy. Well, it's not. It's a beast. So, bear's attacking.
And
monster's
John,
attacking.
John is, I'm going to lure this thing out. I've got my bow.
I got my
arrow.
I'm going to kill this thing
and
with my bow.
And he starts putting some bows and some arrows, starts getting after it.
He's like, I want to kill. Well, and then we're shooting it with guns too, right?
I know. Robert gets the gun because, you know what? He's the white guy. They use guns.
Yeah,
the
natives use them. Guns. Yep.
Yeah, but he doesn't because John gets backhanded into
Bam.
A turn.
It doesn't blow up.
Holy smokes. He does, but he goes flying. I mean, that thing sends him about 50 feet, and he just lands. Game over.
This is going to hurt.
And Robert comes out with his gun. That doesn't work. So Katahdin, I love this, because again, Katahdin grabs him in a bear hug, which is game over, but not for Robert.
No.
And Robert uses an arrow.
I'm with the EPA.
I got to be honest.
He's stabbing him in the eye.
Yeah, stabbing it all over, and it ends up falling in the water, and
he
jumps on it,
keeps stabbing it.
Just going to say it. Katahdin dies easier than a regular bear.
I agree.
I mean, there's no damn way you would be able to take out a grizzly bear
or even a
black bear.
Nope.
That's, like, angry and intent on killing you. You're not going to be able to just go after it with one little arrow.
Boop, boop, boop. No, this guy's using an arrow and just stabbing its eye.
Yeah.
And I win.
Yep.
Come on.
And it's in the water. And you're kind of waiting for that. Oh, it's going to pop back up. It doesn't.
No.
It's over. Meanwhile.
Done.
They're getting flown out. Right?
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, thank God.
Maggie's in a bed.
She's like, oh, thank God this nightmare's over.
Robert's holding hands. He's going, this is kind of nice, isn't it?
Yeah, we're still getting an abortion. No. We're still getting an abortion.
And then we get the shot looking
classic.
Up at the plane.
That's so nice and beautiful
and
here.
Suddenly a baby Katahdin just right into the screen, making a howling, screaming.
Cut.
That's the end.
Of the movie.
Holy smokes. Can't wait for Prophecy 2.
which never happened.
No. No.
So many sequels that could be made.
You know, it's true. They always end these movies and you think, man, there's going to be a second one. And then somebody said, I don't think we need
it. We don't need to do that. We don't need to read it. There's no good in doing
John a second Frankenheimer, one. More like John Drinkenheimer.
Drunkenheimer. Just make the bear show up at the end.
I need a big bear.
And they'll be scared. They'll never sleep.
So that's the end of that one.
Well, it was a fun movie. You kept asking me, did you really like it, though? I'm like, yeah, dude, I did like it. It was weird and strange and bizarre. And
kept dropping hints that I was wondering if you liked this one.
I was dropping hints that I did not like it.
Would you recommend it?
I would recommend it, yeah. I mean, for something, you know, different. And, you know, it brings up a lot of things that need to be addressed, like, you know, our environment and what we need to be doing to keep it safe, dude. You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, the other one is a very political issue that I don't even want to get into.
I think I would watch it just for the sleeping bag scene, to be honest.
Oh, my God. That's one reason I would recommend it. So you want to see a kid in a mummy sleeping bag?
Get tossed like 30 feet straight, stiff as a board, hit a rock, blow up.
Just, it's awesome.
It's funny.
Yeah. I would recommend it. I mean, am I going to say, dude, you got to go see this movie? Not really, but I'm kind of a fan. I'm sort of fascinated just in the different eras and of horror movies and just movies in general and what they're picking up from that time.
And the 70s
had those
timepiece,
like all the environmental stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
The Native American movement. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is real, I find interesting.
Yeah.
So I would recommend it for that. There's things that you might watch and you go, it's a little cringy. No, I mean, just the constant, you know, Indians and just the way they describe them.
Well, yeah.
Some of that stuff, you know, it's always kind of a trigger alert type deal where I go, it doesn't bother me. But some people might watch it and go, holy smokes, that's offensive.
Yeah, it's
there's a lot more offensive ones out there.
It's a timepiece for sure. I think just knowing that like what you're talking about, like, the connection to what was happening during that time, the environmentalists, all that, you know, Native Americans, it's cool. It's good. It's got not knowing that and knowing it now is like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say it's another one where I go, I think you could go in and edit this thing. You can trim 10 minutes out of this.
You can make this a 40-minute movie.
Well, I think 90 minutes. Something like this, you got to look at the 90-minute
mark. I'm saying 115.
That'd be tough.
We can do it.
You're taking like 25 minutes out. That might be
tough.
You
could do it.
But I think there are scenes that could be trimmed. It could be cut a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Field Day.
Field Day.
Thank you guys so much.
What a day for Field Day. Good movie.
Check Dark Lager. This is so good.
It's great. It's a great beer.
Like I said, these guys are fairly new. They're doing some good stuff, and they're starting to can. So you might see them. They're out of North Liberty, Iowa.
They're going to get moving pretty fast. I'm pretty sure they got a very large production facility. I think they're looking to make a dent.
Yeah, their space is gigantic.
And starting with the first thing they're canning is a Czech dark lager.
Yeah,
party.
Everything. Actually, I think everything they had one sour and then three or four, and they were all lagers, which is great. And
it's cool.
When you know that area, North Liberty is, and I went to Iowa City, went to school in Iowa City, been to North Liberty. That place has changed so much, I wouldn't even recognize
it. Sure,
it's
sure.
It's expanded quick.
But that area, it's they want lagers.
Yeah,
they don't want double milkshake IPAs and barrel-aged peanut butter, coconut, macadamia stouts. They want lagers,
stuff like that. It's on tap, and I'm sure it'll be canned sooner or later.
But moving.
But you know what? Boom. You want the cans off the shelves.
These cans go in a river like that.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Speaking of, but you, when you're on the river, keep an eye out for Katahdin.
Jesus. And those giant salmons. Salmons.
Now I never want to eat fish again.
Definitely not out of the Mississippi. I'll just say that right now.
I think that about wraps this up.
Yeah, that was a good time, Michael. Thank you for inviting me to the podcast. I had a great time. Great beer.
Yeah, thank you for joining.
Great movie.
Fun. It's fun. I'm glad you had a good time joining us at the B&B Movies. And thanks again for letting us use your studio.
Of course. Studio is always available here in Dubuque, Iowa.
Remember to like, subscribe, leave a review, and follow wherever you see the podcast. And that will wrap this up. This is B&B Movies. I'm Michael.
And I'm John.